It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Andy Iannacco's here. He's on his way to Los Angeles, but we got him at the airport. Renee Ritchie from Montreal. And lo and behold, Alex Lindsay's back. A great Mac Break Weekly is ahead. We take a look at the new iPad Air. And then more. Stay right here.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 375, recorded November 5th, 2013, Angry Santa. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code MacBreak1113. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/MacBreak. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 250,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/MBW to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show that covers your Apple needs. Yes, it's here, ladies and gentlemen. Thinner, lighter, why it's practically floating away. It's iPad Air time at Mac Break Weekly. And for that, we've gathered together the usual stalwarts. We've got Andy Iannacco, who's flying out for a speech. Where are you right now, Andy?
I'm still in Boston. I'm a temporary admiral. Please don't tell them I'm just a commander, or else they'll probably kick me out. So I'm in the Admiral's Club for the free Wi-Fi.
Hey, Ensign! Ensign Iannacco, what are you doing in here?
I know. It's like, I feel like this is like one of the few chances that I know I'm going to be able to talk to real human beings for a good 2 hours. If I break my appointment here, I'll lose the act. So,
I told him the strawberry ice cream was in the Admiral's Club, but he didn't believe me. That's a very poor Humphrey Bogart. Look who's here, Alex Lindsay.
I am.
He is visiting us from Kilgally.
Yeah.
Where are you actually from?
Where am I actually from?
Yeah, I mean,
35,000.
Most
feet.
Recently, Kigali. You were just in Kigali
last week. So we were doing
Rwanda.
So we did live streaming for the. It's called Transform Africa. So it's basically tech leaders and actually seven heads of state. So seven presidents and
wow.
And all of the ministers and everything else talking about how technology is making a difference in Africa.
That's really.
And
neat.
So they were dealing with cyber, all the stuff we talk about, cybersecurity. Right. Using it in agriculture, health, and how it's being used in Africa, and then also what's coming up next. So, like Rwanda's rolling out LTE, which
do
is
you have
huge.
A sense that because they are behind in effect, having now starting the infrastructure, that they are in effect ahead because they didn't have the legacy stuff that we have to deal with.
For the countries that are willing to invest, absolutely. So, a country like Rwanda. One
just goes straight to LTE.
Well, but a lot of countries are not. So a lot of the countries. So it's more expensive to roll out LTE from a hardware perspective than edge and 3G and so on and so forth. But it's a lot cheaper, and you can support a lot more people with it once it's rolled out. And so a lot of the countries are still India, and a lot of the other countries are still going, hey, we're doing 3G.
Right.
What Rwanda did is they spent $140 million with Korea.
Wow.
And they're just rolling. Rwanda has committed to providing LTE to 95% of the population in 3 years.
It's basically universal internet access.
Yeah. And they have the fiber backbone to do it.
Wow.
So they were showing that. Of course, no one's on the network yet, so they were doing LTE tests.
Oh, man.
105 megabits a second.
You were on the
cell phone.
We wanted to talk to you last week from Rwanda, and it was Horseshoe, the battle was lost because you had it was incredible bandwidth,
yeah,
but you had no way to use it.
Yeah, well, what happened was so I had a 100 megabit connection in Rwanda And so I was like, this is going to be great. Except the place that I had it, it turned out there was this huge, like, dignitaries and everything else were having dinner there. So it was like, you know, so the one place where I had the fiber drop, I thought no one was going to be there. So I figured it's going to be 9 o'clock at night.
You don't mind if I do a podcast. It's just out of my way.
Well, and then I thought, I said, can I go into that little room? And I was like, they're like, yeah, sure. They told me that in the afternoon. So I went around to the room and that was like where the buffet was, you know? And so that I got, it was sad because it was, I had the connection. I had the, and it was. Anyway, it was.
Well, you're here now.
It was
the bandwidth
cool.
Superb here, by the way.
The bandwidth is
you're
superb.
Realistic, very real.
Yes, well,
I would say
I'm
more than 4K.
I'm rendering well. Yeah, exactly. So,
hey, look who's also here with his iPad Air, Renee Ritchie from iMore.com. Look, hey, Leo. We could see it's like a mirror in reverse and upside down. That's very
it's
nice.
It's amazing. It's what an stuck effect. In the iPad Air.
It's very realistic. Hi, Renee.
It's the thinnest, lightest, fastest iPad ever, Leo, again.
How could it not be? Would you release something that were less thin, less fast, less
the
good?
The iPad 3.
They did.
They did, the iPad 2. Which, by the way, apparently is still selling pretty well, which is very strange. Before we get to the iPad, because I know you really want to get to the iPad, did you get the picture of Andy's setup yet, Chad, on your email? Andy sent it to you. All right. Before we get to that, then, let me show you this. A robot, there, look at this. This is how Andy rolls. He's looking straight into a corner, but you'd never know it. He's emoting. That's awesome, Andrew. I like the light
green
on the back.
Admiral Lounge is amazing.
Exactly. You know that they filled half a season of How I Met Your Mother right in this exact cubicle?
Here is a video of a rock, paper, scissors robot that you cannot beat. Do you know the reason you cannot beat it is it can tell what you're going to do before you do it.
That's not fair.
It takes 60 milliseconds for you to form the thing that you're going to do with your fist and do it. But in 20 milliseconds, it can sense it. It can tell ahead of time. You cannot beat it. It will beat you every time. Okay, I just thought we'd start with something.
That's not right.
Stop developing robots immediately. We're not going to win.
I'm not going to play the thumb wrestling with
just
it. That's all I'm
you,
saying.
Skynet's coming, kids. It's first rock, paper, scissors, that's then thermonuclear war. I'm yes. just telling you. Oh, man. It literally senses about what you're about to do. It's a cheap bot.
Well, you know, in our defense, that's a pretty crap scissors it's doing. It's almost not, man.
Oh, Lord. It's all over for the humans, folks. But we still have iPads, which
there's
I'm
that.
Now starting to think is maybe a stealth, you know, from the that's robot how get you. World.
Between the iPads and the glass, you know, just...
We did. If you didn't see on Sunday, we had a Twitch special, I think it was 172, where iFixit tore it down,
yep.
which was kind of fun to look at the inside guts of it. And once again, not only thinner, lighter, not only the lightest, thinnest... fastest iPad we've ever made, the least repairable and the least recyclable iPad they've ever made. The whole you might as well just encase it in a block of glue.
Yep.
Yeah. Didn't Phil Schiller make a joke during the presentation that it's 100% recyclable? If you don't want it, someone else will definitely take it off your hands.
That's the recycling. That's the recycling. Yeah, it was interesting. And Kyle Weens and the great team at iFixit. If you haven't seen that, do watch it because it was kind of fun to watch. The first thing they do. Is they if you've ever sprained an ankle, you know, sometimes you have these worms with beads inside that you put in the freezer or you could put in the microwave. It could be hot or cold. So they microwave it. They sell this thing, but it's just like the one you buy in the store for a sprain, and you microwave it so it's warm. There it is. And they put it on there, and they let it sit. And it warms it up sufficiently that the glue softens. And then they use guitar picks all around the edge to pry it loose.
These guys are
it's pretty amazing.
Professionals.
They say the only there's the guitar picks. The only thing you don't want to do is puncture the lithium ion batteries. By the way, like as with most previous versions of the iPad, it's almost all battery. The motherboard is almost the same size as an iPhone motherboard. It's tiny. Just this little thing. But the battery is like most of it, and that's how they got good battery life. Pretty amazing battery life. Once again, a non-tech test. There it is. Tested the iPad Air as a MiFi. So if you turn off the screen, you turn off everything, you just use it as a hotspot, more than 24 hours.
Wow.
Longer than a MiFi.
Well, because it's got a lot of battery.
Do you do that all the time?
Yeah.
I do that all the time. And yesterday I was testing it and I was getting 95 down on a Rogers LTE at the coffee shop.
Take that, Kilgally.
And it's funny because Rogers must provision tethering differently than, because I can do 50, 65 down on an iPhone or an iPad by itself. But if I tether them, it just shoots right up.
Wow.
Now, how much are they charging you per gig?
I pay $30 for 6 gigs.
Oh, that's good. Pretty good, actually.
Because I think that's the one advantage that I've seen as we start to see companies charging per gig, is it does give them a reason to give you a fast connection, because
sure.
Then you're burning up.
They're making money.
You know, right. they're before they capped it all because it was free or it was limited. You know, it was all part of a package, and now they can charge you for it.
What is the? Yeah. You don't have one yet, huh?
I don't have one yet. I've been in Africa.
You haven't had a chance.
No.
Fortunately, John Slania, thank you, John, went to the Apple store on Friday and got a couple for us, so I was able to get this one. Did you get one yet, Andy?
Yep, I got this one in the slick flesh-colored case.
Wow, it looks just like a human.
Exactly. It's
no one's flesh is that color.
Well, I don't know. You know, you don't get a lot of sunlight out there.
Make Andy look rosy.
Is there a cadaver color? Because I think that's actually what you got. Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's nice. You know what? The first thing I surprised myself, because it isn't. Well, I was trying to decide Retina Mini or this, and I was thinking, oh, maybe, you know. And people were saying, I think MG Siegler said you can hold it in one hand. I don't know. MG must have very big hands, because I can't hold this with one hand.
The win is just the ability of how long you can hold it in two hands as opposed to one.
Oh, look, Renee. Did you play basketball?
Right there.
Big Canadian hands, Leo. Big Canadian
God,
hands. Oh,
God. You guys are huge.
I don't see what your problem is. It's just...
What? Maybe I have small hands. I didn't know this all this time. I've had small hands.
Yeah. Hello.
With the case,
you
can
do
no
it,
less.
Too?
Yeah.
Hey, Renee. How's it going?
Good.
Going to the game today?
But wait a minute. Is it comfortable holding that with one hand?
Yeah.
Or are you feeling a little tendon stretch?
It feels like I'm on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise, Leo. Just, you know.
Beat me up. All right. I take it back. I did notice, though, that one of the things immediately I noticed is that I tended to want to use it in portrait mode. And that what I was really pleased to see is that typing is very natural with the two-thumb typing approach in portrait mode.
It's fantastic.
And I think that is... And it's, what is it? It's not very much. It's maybe a half an inch off the width, but it's enough.
It's enough to make it
just easier. Enough so that you can do this thumb typing. And I tried it on a regular iPad, and I couldn't do it.
I still don't.
Again, with my baby hands, I couldn't. So maybe
I love it. It was the first thing I tried, and it's fantastic. And your thumbs can meet in the middle, and it's just, I use it portrait now. It's so good.
Okay, so I'm not alone. So it did. It seemed like all of a sudden I'm using it in a portrait mode in a very, very naturally without even thinking about it.
Right.
It seemed natural. And it is, it's the right aspect ratio, I think, for reading and stuff in portrait mode. 16:9 is weird in portrait mode. It's too tall.
Yeah, even the Kindle, Kindle Fire, I mean, which I got to use last month, it's kind of weird when you have a little bit of stretch. It's not a big problem, but it's especially a problem on the Surface tablet where it will rotate to portrait mode, but when you use it that way, it's telling you, it's like any of us trying to hold the iPad with one hand, we can do it. But we're making it very clear, please make us not have to do this anymore, because this is very awkward for us.
Yeah. Now, while DisplayMate does these tests and I don't know if you guys can say whether these are good or not, but DisplayMate did its regular tests comparing the Kindle Fire HDX, the iPad Air, and the Google Nexus 10, and said that they're talking about screen quality, sharpness, I presume color gamut and all of that. And they said that the Fire beat the Air. Not that the Air was bad, but the Fire was better.
Well, that was one of the things that they were promoting at the get-go, that this has the full RGB range that's available. It's the most color compatible screen they're saying is on the market today. Whether or not it's something that really is visible to the human eye as opposed to test equipment is another matter entirely. Especially we consider that people are really doing a lot of photo apps. They're really doing a lot of like visually intensive and curious things on an iPad, whereas anything with a Kindle name on it is chiefly going to be used for books and some movies. So
black in this diagram from a DisplayMate, black is sRGB, the standard color gamut. And as you can see, both the Air and the Fire pretty close, not perfect. But the Google Nexus 10, terrible. It was about 50%.
It was an interesting discussion on Twitter from a bunch of iOS designers who were saying that instead of Retina, they'd prefer either 10-bit color or 120 hertz refresh rate. And both those things could maybe make a better difference for you.
Yeah, well, we've reached the point where Retina is kind of ho-hum. Everything's Retina, right?
Yeah.
If it's not Retina, it's like, well, what's wrong with this?
Well, I can say it. The 120 refresh rate is much more computationally intensive.
Sure.
Then, I think that the value of 10-bit display is pretty low.
It's for photographers,
I mean,
and
even
like
photographers.
That.
I mean, you know, I don't know. Compared
we'd win
to
that
resolution,
test, though, Alex, we'd
what?
We'd win the test, though.
We would win the test. Yes, exactly. We would get a gold star. You're right.
We could each write a 2,400 word essay about how, but it's the quality, it's the attention, the detail, and the cumulative effect of reconsidering every fundamental decision that adds up to a greater and more profound final product.
Exactly.
As you said that, Andy, I saw the balls bouncing around the screen.
It's thinner. It's lighter. It's the best iPad we've ever made. Apparently, the Kindle Fire is the most accurate, considerably more. They have very good color accuracy than the Air, than the Nexus 10, a distant third.
It's a year old, though, the Nexus 10.
Yeah, I think that's unfair. We're waiting. Yeah, we're waiting for the next Nexus 10. So.
And Samsung has never wowed anyone with their displays, right. I mean, from Pentile on down.
But essentially, very close between the HDX. I was surprised, actually, because the HDX is cheap and the iPad Air, very close. Both impressive mobile displays, the most impressive mobile displays currently available. High resolution.
The interesting thing about the Air is, I mean, every hundredth of an inch they took off of that was like walking a mile through a desert in terms of engineering resources.
Yeah, you can imagine.
Hugely difficult. So they managed to get this screen. I mean, it just looks like it's a little bit thinner, but to get that screen and that battery life in a device this thin was a Herculean task of engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I really got to ask that question. If you took the amount of money and the amount of effort that they took to make this device thinner, and I don't think there's any people who are complaining that, what I really don't like about the 9.7-inch iPad is that it's just so damn thick. I mean, if you took those resources and added extra features, like if you figured out a way to keep it as thick as it ever was, but give it a pressure-sensitive tablet, a touch interface, you can use it for art and for other input stuff, wouldn't that be really, really cool? Or improve the display in other ways?
I don't know notice 1.4 millimeters. Would you notice the difference?
It's the weight that really sells this. The weight here is really wild. It's
0.4 pounds lighter.
And it's a lot smaller.
And this is the width difference in width is really the biggest difference. The height is about the same.
It definitely feels a lot.
And the bezels are, of course, the weight reason.
It's less intimidating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is not a mini. I'm quick to say, now having held it, I still think I want to get the mini with Retina as my preferred iPad. It's not quite the mini, especially now that the mini is spec-wise identical. We think,
but here's a question: What are you planning on using the mini for?
Everything I use an iPad for and more.
Really?
Simpsons.
I might eat off of it. I don't know. No, I use the mini at home. I keep my maxi pad here, and I keep my mini pad at home.
Oh God! Please don't say that.
I do the opposite. I use the mini for traveling and tethering, and I use the big iPad at home for videos and comic books. And
well, remember, the big iPad stays here. It doesn't go anywhere ever. It's what I use for iPad today in this show. And the mini is the one I use as I'm, you know, in the house. All right, let's face it, in the can. and I do hold it with one hand.
What? Leo, I just want to make an observation here. You are one more such observation from turning this into an episode of Girls. I mean, you're going to just be naked on the next show.
I'm going to play naked ping pong. Yeah, naked ping pong next on a very special.
Have you gotten the new? Not yet.
It comes Friday. They call me up. Apparently, a truck has to deliver it. It's so big.
Really?
Truck delivery company said, "Yeah, we got." I said,
"Did you get
the whole toilet?" I got the whole toilet.
Oh yeah.
And he said,
okay.
"Yeah." I said, "What's in it?" He said, "It's ceramic." He said, "Oh, I know what that is."
Well, you got the whole thing.
Oh well, yeah. I figured because if you get the whole thing, then the toilet raises up to greet you.
Yes, it does.
May the toilet rise up to greet you.
The only reason I brought that up is that you know what's really missing is an app on your iPad that just can control the.
They have a remote, but it seems silly to have a remote.
If you had it.
Not to mention the hygienicity of the idea of a remote for a toilet is. But it is a touchless toilet, right? You never touch nothing.
Exactly.
It touches you, but you don't touch it.
Use it for the same reason you use the phone app for your Tesla, for your other car, so that you're in bed, you want to like push a button, have it nice and warm, so that when you actually use it, there's no, you know, sudden shock of the morning.
Actually, it's always warm.
Oh, really?
Say, well, you can decide whether you want to.
I thought it warmed up to greet you again. Also, it sees you coming. But it opens up. It warms up. The water starts warming up.
Yeah, it's,
there's a little fan. Oh yeah.
Oh well, yeah.
Hey,
beyond Gizwiz.
You don't want cold water on your hoo-ha. That is not good. That water. No, not the bowl
Andy's
water.
Andy's taking a moment. Andy is officially taking a moment.
I'm just thinking about my grandfather who was a goat herder until age 12 or 13 and then made it to the United States of America suffering unbearable hardship in his first two or three years to start a new life and a new family with very, very little resources. And then knowing that that his grandchild's generation really, really wants a toilet that is self-warming and coddles it and says nice things about it while it's peeing. I'm just not sure that I could have survived as a goat herder for one thing.
Well, the worst part is if you spend too much time. I spent 6 weeks in Japan on a film and you get anywhere that doesn't have those types of toilets, you immediately go, what? I'm in some sign of slum here. I mean, what is wrong here?
I spent a month in Guangzhou. They had a plank in a ditch.
I'm used to places where you're lucky if you don't get a splinter. All right, we're gonna take a break, and then I'm gonna show you. Speaking of Guangdong Province, my new iPhone picked up from China.
Ooh.
Oh, this might be a little different than what you're expecting. But first, a word from Shutterstock.com. Shutterstock is the place to go for over 30 million royalty-free stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and videos, too. In fact, if you click the footage tab at the top of the screen, 1.3 million royalty-free stock videos, too. I love Shutterstock. I know you'll love it, too. In fact, I encourage you just to sign up for the free Shutterstock account because you don't have, you know, it's very simple. You don't have to give them a credit card. Each week, you'll get a free photo. That's, you know, part of the deal. You get the newsletter, of course, giving you ideas, updates, and of course they always have new stuff. I think more than 100,000 new photos every week. And you can use their light boxes, which is a very nice feature. The light box allows you to save images as you travel through your life and use them for inspiration, share them with colleagues, share them with others. And of course you can use the amazing Shutterstock search. So let's search for you can search for a noun like toilet. But wouldn't you prefer to search for a happy toilet? So you can actually use adjectives along with a noun. And, wow, you wouldn't think there'd be so many happy toilet images. But there are.
And we're just continuing along this.
Why not? You know, we're here. Oh, this guy's a little too happy.
Oh, I don't know if we should have shown that on the show.
Shutterstock. There's an image for every concept, every idea. Their search is great. They also have the color wheel that lets you say, I want happy blue toilets, you know, or any color to match, because you understand you want to match the theme of your website or your publication.
And the key is that you're going to get, anytime you're using stock photography, we use a lot of stock photography, you know that the licensing's sorted out, you know that you have a high quality image, you know that, you know, and it's really built for what you need. It is really the key to the operation. I mean, you know, to as far as when you're putting together any kind of website, you know, a lot of the images that you see on, you know, blogs and news sites and everything else that are close-ups are coming. That's stock photography. I mean, they're not trying to figure out how to do it themselves.
No, in fact,
I used to try to figure out, like, how am I going to take a photo of this? And then I realized I can just go
look at the bottom of a lot of pages. A lot of times you'll see courtesy image Shutterstock. It's very, very popular. If you decide, hey, I think I need this, you can buy image packs. You can do the subscription. That's what we do, 25 images a day. That's for the company. Use the offer code MacBreak1113 for November 2013, 1113, and you'll get 25% off. That's a good deal on your new subscription or your new photo package. Look, here's Santa. And then here's Angry Santa. Do you think there'll be an Angry Santa? Santa's never angry.
Yes.
Yes, there is. He is very angry. He's also unshaven. Wait a minute, Santa! Knock it off! I think Santa just flipped me the bird. So, you see? Even Santa.
That's a really angry Santa. I think all he's pulling there is coal.
Reindeer. Wow.
Ooh.
Ooh. But, you know, if you're going to do the post on, you know, why I'm mad this holiday
why
season.
Why I hate Christmas.
You might need an angry.
We need you. That's like the recruiting for reindeer.
Here's an angry Santa girl.
Mm.
Here's a Santa who apparently is stuck in the chimbley. Visit it, Shutterstock.com. Don't forget our offer code MacBreak1113 for 25% off. Create that free account. How hard is it to get the iPad? Are people walking into stores today and picking up iPad Airs? There is a... I guess that was a rhetorical question. I don't know. There is a finder, right? And Apple has a finder where you can see what the availability is store by store.
At that moment.
Shipping dates are slipping.
Good stock.
They all do? So it's easy to get?
Well, they did. They did at launch. They had really good stock.
Yeah. And then there's apparently, is this a third-party site? Apple-tracker.com? It is obviously a third-party site. And look, you can go by store, by color, by carrier. So let's do it in our zip code, 94952. There aren't very many Apple stores nearby.
Santa Rosa,
yes. Yeah, every size except 128. Hey, the 128 seem to be selling out. I'll have to go.
Because that's the way to go.
I'll have to go to 4th Street. Is it?
Yeah.
I just got the 64.
I got a 60. Everything I've gotten a 64 lately, and everything is full. So the only problem really is that iCloud maxes out at 55 gigs. What is the deal with that? Like, how do you make 100? How am I supposed to back something up to iCloud?
You can't buy more to get to 128?
You can't go higher than... So you got 128, you know, gig. I think that their assumption is that you're not going to back up your music or your movies. But I still have a problem where I have a whole bunch of devices. And I'm constantly getting a little alert that I'm out.
Yeah, and also they're very, very obnoxious about those alerts, too. I exceeded my max about 3 weeks ago, and I'm definitely going to get to it, and I've been chipping down at it. But it's really a pain in the butt that every time I take out an iPhone, every time I take out an iPad, I know they have to march past four different warning things. Sorry, this iPad's not been backed up in 4 weeks. If you need to please get some spicing in iCloud, I'm sorry, I can't really back up your photo cloud until it's, come on, just let me, there should be a checkbox saying, please let me say that I get it. Please let me fail on my own because you're just annoying the hell out of me right now.
Yeah.
But you definitely should get it. I'm a big, big, big supporter of getting the 128 Air or even the previous iPads, chiefly because it gives you so much extra flexibility. You can manage a 16 or 32 gig iPhone because it's a different kind of device. When you have the max amount of storage on the iPad, though, that means that when you're traveling, you can every single night when you get back to your hotel room, use the camera adapter to slurp all your photos off the memory card into memory. You'll go home with 48 gigabytes worth of photos and raw photos when you're using this thing as a backup storage device, and you won't have to take your notebook with you. And you can still have room for HD videos. You can still have room for all your audiobooks. You can still have room for all your music. It's just such a bummer, but the first time, probably 3 or 4 weeks after you have your first iPad, when it tells you, I'm sorry, we can't back this up, we can't sync this because you're out of space, you don't ever want to run out of space.
And I truly don't understand why Apple doesn't just keep on scaling that opportunity, you know, especially now that they have a lot of devices like this and they have a lot of users with multiple devices. It really needs to be able to go up to, if people want to pay for it, up to 200 or 300, you know, gigs of a backup.
And there's no solution that's as good. You can't use, like, Google Drive, which you can buy
Nothing's
more.
Nothing's native, yeah.
Yeah, nothing is easy.
Yeah. And they think that they give you a lot of stuff for free. Like, a lot of the photo stream stuff is all stored, quote-unquote, for free. And a lot of the other stuff is stored for free. But someone like Alex is going to go through all the non-free data in about 20 minutes anyway. So it would behoove them to give you a lot more away for free, like just the basic level storage, and then to have more reasonable tiers. Because right now it's not at all competitive with what everyone else is doing.
I wonder if it has to do – okay, so I'm going to admit something, that I have many people using my iCloud account. Because they're sharing the apps.
Right.
And so I have maybe, you know, four iPhones.
It's like a quarter
a couple
of Petaluma.
iPads. Yeah. Most of Petaluma's on
Yeah. I mean, that is.
No, but really. I mean, I have a lot of family members.
It's a lot of friends because we walk
Not
down the street and they're like, hey, Leo.
They're
hey,
people
Leo.
In my life who are family members. But there's enough of them. Yep. And maybe that's why. Maybe they want to keep me from doing that. Like, encourage you to get a new account. I did notice that. It felt like they really wanted me to create a new account on the iPad.
Maybe, but it just seems like there's a lot of people that have. If you have a 64 gig iPhone and a 64 gig iPad, you know, and you know, it seems
it's
like
easy to do.
It's easy to run out.
It's easy
of,
to go over.
Right.
I have several iPads. I have a big one. My Max.
I was being conservative. I've got a couple of everything.
My MaxiPad, my mini pad. I have my iPhone. I have my old iPhone. That's four right there.
Yep.
And it's not clear. I mean, it'll store the photos for free, but not the videos. And it lets you back up camera roll as well as photo stream. The apps are all free because those can be re-downloaded, but the app data can vary. Like a game has very little in-app data, but an app that uses that creates a lot of documents for you will have a lot of it. And it ends up being just so confusing that nobody really knows how much storage they have until they get that annoying warning that Andy was talking about.
Part of this is that Apple is not as big a company as we think it is, isn't it? Seriously. I mean, we assume that they have unlimited data centers, and they don't.
Data centers.
They built that new big one in North Carolina, but now they're building new ones in Oregon and Reno. They need to build more. They don't have the capacity.
I think they need to move the data centers to the sea.
Oh, wait. Like Google.
And also, mail takes up a lot. Like most of mine is taken up by mail with attachments in it, so I have to go and either archive the mail or get rid of the emails that have old attachments in it.
That's a problem on your iPad?
Yeah, because I have my iCloud account is on my iPad, but my iCloud account email just keeps piling up and uses more and more.
I thought you only get the last 1,000 images. I mean, last 1,000
messages.
I don't use
messages. iCloud email. That's the first thing you'd probably want to stop doing. Why do you use iCloud email?
I forward my personal Gmail. I have a work Gmail account, but I forward my personal Gmail to iCloud because Gmail just never worked well for me.
Who uses...
It always gave me...
Well, it doesn't now. If you use Mavericks, forget it. It's dead.
Before that, for years, I've had bandwidth exceeded errors. I don't know how you exceed Google's bandwidth, but I got those errors. I had simultaneous connection errors. I got inbox not found errors. And I just got to the point where it wasn't working so much, I forwarded it and I forgot about it.
What a surprise. It doesn't work well. I think probably new users typically will use iCloud because it's just there for their email. But do real people really use iCloud for email?
Oh,
I can't remember the last time I actually got something from an iCloud address.
Yeah, I mean, I get in my iCloud inbox is Apple offers and newsletters and stuff like that.
A lot of people who are either work at Apple or work in products associated with Apple still use iCloud, going back to Mac or iTools days.
Yeah, my me.com address.
Yeah.
Well, I use it for something, but I don't know what.
I think it's usually
by accident.
An edge case, Renee, is what I'm saying.
It might be, but like you know, I think my mom has a Me account just because she set it up when she.
That's
got
her
what
first I would expect. And, sure, yeah. Oh, they give me email too. Aren't they nice, those people in Apple?
Well, it's just sort of there, and if you're part of the Apple ecosystem, it does real push. Gmail now doesn't do push unless you have the paid account. I mean, it does push, but it doesn't do Exchange, which is my preferred way of using Gmail.
I agree.
Unless you have the paid account, iCloud Mail for a lot of people. Just the contacts, mail, and calendar sync work really well. And if you're a new user and you just buy your iPad or your iPhone, it gets set up as part of the iCloud system anyway. So I think I don't even know if they would know that they're using it, but they're using it.
The company Fixu, not a good name, Fixu, is a mobile app marketing company, and they apparently look at online devices and stuff like that. They say, according to their numbers, iPad Air adoption numbers 500% higher than iPad 4 on opening weekend, 400% higher than the Mini on
I'm
opening
not surprised.
Weekend. Big adoption.
Well, because a
Air,
lot of us,
Fixu,
myself included, a lot of us skipped 4. I mean, so I'm...
I skipped 4.
I skipped 4. I'm waiting. Yeah. I mean, I have to go out and get 5 now, but I was like, it's not enough. So not enough from 3.
Remember that was when everyone assumed that Apple would never release 2 full-sized iPads in the same year. So a lot of people like myself bought the iPad 3 for Retina, and then several months later, there's the iPad 4. So everybody that year had either, I think, already bought the iPad 3, or they had... basically told themselves that this is 2012 is not a year in which I'm going to be buying a full-sized iPad. So,
and I think that now that'll be my last. My iPad 3, I think, is my last 30-pin device, which I can't wait. I know we complained about it when they first changed it, but do we really – is there any argument that that is the best device connector made right now?
Yeah. But I would say I wish they'd gone with the micro USB.
Micro USB is such a crappy little connection.
Well,
it is such a horrible little...
It's just universal, so...
It is, but the problem
is
that...
Speaking of which, can you get me a micro USB cable? My iPhone needs to be charged here. I let it go overnight.
Your Shenzhen iPhone needs to be...
You could tell looking at it? Could you tell? I wanted to turn it on because it's got iOS 7 on it. $40.
Does it, or does it have iOS 7 or Android 4.2?
It has Android that looks exactly like iOS 7, but I can't show you because I need a charger cable. I also have, by the way, a Lumia. This is my Nokia Lumia 1020 running. I wonder if I could turn this one on. Yeah, they all died. I forgot to charge them. Oh, you power them off to save the battery. Well, let's power up. Yeah, see, it's not HTC, it's HTM.
Yeah.
Mm.
Nice honeycomb logo.
Yeah. And at least it says Android, but only when you first turn it on. Where do you see this? So this looks like it's gold. A gold ring.
The only acceptable color.
I'm getting the boot menu.
In Chinese.
I don't know. What should I do, Jason? I'm getting in recovery mode. Oh, crap.
A-B-A-B.
Oh, crap.
I think there's a certain level of you get what you pay for.
Who speaks Chinese here? Charbax brought these by from...
Are you sure?
What?
You see, these phones that run MS-DOS, they cost a little bit less money, but in the end, then you're really going to wish that you had a real operating system, multi-touch.
Oh, now it's making a high-pitched tone. Chinese person, come here.
That's not just a random tone.
Now it's doing a camera.
That's the phone uploading all the data network to a server.
This is just booting up, right?
Suddenly see all the screens start changing as it takes over.
What does that say?
It says forced Bluetooth pairing.
Tony speaks Chinese. Thank goodness. It doesn't make any sense. Oh, maybe I'll take it to the Genius Bar. They could figure this out, right?
Yeah.
Apple's real good. Yeah, if you give me one that's I can just plug into the Mac. I don't know what the Mac's going to do when it sees it. You think it'll boot iTunes?
I don't think you want to plug that into a computer.
I wouldn't do that.
Oh, come on. What could possibly go wrong?
How many executables are on that?
You know what's funny is they make this look just like a Lightning connector, even though I presume it's micro USB, but they make it, you know, Lightning.
Look like it.
Yeah. These are very popular in...
By the way, it's that little...
Is it Lightning? No.
No.
Is it mini micro?
It's just you hate about USB, which is that
you have to decide which direction, and B, if you get that little tongue in the center bent, you're done.
You're screwed, yeah.
And so the move to a completely solid connector makes all the difference.
No, it is better. I agree with you, but it's just not universal. Plus, you had to buy
the pins that they can do with that thing. The Lightning is really flexible in what they can do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's doing stuff.
It signals.
It says my name, Leo, and then
it's saying I'm getting all the information off the computer. Name.
Yeah.
Uploading all data to
Shenzhen. It's like doing people's army. Thanks you, Leo.
It's warning. No suitable AP
services.
It's like Maryland, this is like a Linux boot. This is going through some bizarre boots.
No, it's just showing you stuff while it's downloading everything from your computer. It's just keeping you distracted. You're like looking at it going, what is it doing? And it's going, upload to...
Chinese government wants to see...
I think I saw this on Blacklist last week.
James Spader's in my phone!
Acquired backdoor into government servers.
Oh,
via
Twit. It wants $300 in money pack coupons. What?
Yes.
What? Anyway, we'll let this boot up. But I have the Nokia. Oh, sorry about the reflection there. The Nokia 1011 or what? A 1020, except it's not. And also a Galaxy Note 3 with actual stitched faux leather.
And they cost under $100, right?
Oh yeah, they're like $40 and $50.
Yeah.
Is real leather? This one's real leather. It has an S Pen. Look
those
at this.
Those marketplaces are really, really cool, too.
Yeah, right. It doesn't come out.
I went when the...
It's got a fake S Pen. It doesn't... It's just a... it's milled.
That's hysterical.
Uh-oh. The Android's doing things I've never seen it done before. Wow. So, yeah, but this is... But in China, this is why the iPhone has a hard time selling in China, because for $40, you can get something that fools your friends.
Uh-huh. Until they boot it up.
Until they boot it up. This looks just like the Galaxy Note paper, but it doesn't do the S hub. Yeah, come on. Really?
Shub. Yeah, it looks like a real S hub to me.
I want to thank Charbax from look how much this looks like Windows Phone. This is apparently Android can be skinned to look exactly like any operating system. I mean, these tiles even come alive.
Like embedded Unix, like embedded Linux at this point.
But apparently I made a mistake. I pressed the wrong button. And I wonder if I could turn it off.
And that's also, that's both why Apple's having trouble and why Apple's not having trouble.
Right. Well, if you could have, it means $43, but if you could afford what must be a considerable amount of money in China for an iPhone, then you don't need to do
that. What is the Chinese, how do you say in Chinese, how's that working for you?
Let's get Tony back. all right, we're going to take a break, come back with more. We're talking Macintosh and Apple. Andy Iannocco, he's got a flight in 45 minutes. So we're going to let you, we're going to get you out of here in 45 minutes, I promise you. Renee Ritchie from iMore.com. Where are you speaking, Andy? And Alex Lindsay.
I'm speaking at the Mac Tech Conference in LA. That really cool conference that Neil Tichton does every single year, and also in regional variations of it.
And so, do you have a canned talk you do, or what do you talk about?
No, well, I don't have any. That's the problem. I don't have any like pre-prepared talks. So anytime I'm invited to like keynote or talk somewhere, I almost always have to write something brand new just for that purpose. So it's going to be on Friday, and it's not open to the public. But if you want to buy a conference pass, I'm sure you could still buy a conference pass.
Awesome.
If you do want to learn about administration or development, again, in terms of conferences that are, you both maximize these two things of A, learning a hell of a lot, and also having a really, really great time, I don't think that there's anything that maximizes both of them. Last year, Neil arranged for like a behind-the-scenes tour of Disney Animation.
Oh, wow.
And we got to see Wreck-It Ralph like a month before it was released, and also like they actually everybody stayed behind in the office for like 3 hours afterward to like basically show us their software and show us their models and show us their process. So this time we're visiting the space shuttle. So
neat.
As I said, wow. it's a good time. You learn something, but then after everything's done, you have a good time at night.
Real fun. Our show today brought to you by Audible.com. 150,000 books. Love Audible. I listen to Audible every single day. I've got it going through my Sonos. I have it on all my phones. The Audible app is great, by the way. If you have not seen that, there's an iPad version. There is a Android version. There's an iPhone version. And it keeps up with where you are. So if you listen at home and then you start listening on your iPad, all of a sudden it'll say, hey, you left off. Here's where you left off. I love Audible, and I want you to try it. And that's why we've arranged for a free book for you. Visit audible.com, browse around, take a look at all the new classic books, new books, history, science fiction. I saw Ender's Game, the movie, and I've counseled you all, please read the book first, and my counsel has not changed. While the movie was very good, I think I liked it better because I was such a fan of the book. I don't know how people who didn't read the book felt about it.
I think of it as literary zen, you know, because you just like, you know, a lot of times when I would normally be impatient, I'm just like, I'm in a traffic jam. I'll just listen to a book.
I'm listening. I'm enjoying.
Yep.
Sometimes I'll drive around the block or I'll park in the driveway and keep listening. I listen when I'm on the treadmill or the rowing machine. I got the headphones in and it makes time go by really quickly. Here's the deal. If you go to audible.com/MacBreak, we're going to get you your first book absolutely free. You'll sign up for the gold account. That's the book a month account. You also get the daily audio edition of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, your choice. Very affordable way. In fact, I recommend the subscriptions. You can buy a la carte, but it's a very affordable way. And since your first one's free, why not? Audible.com/MacBreak. Andy, what are you listening to these days? See there? Ooh, Speaker for the Dead. So they have, it looks like they have the whole Ender's Game series. So if you did like the book, you might want to go to its sequel, Speaker for the Dead, which is quite interesting. Xenocide, Children of the Mind, First Meetings in the Endiverse. Wow, there's more than I thought. Ender in Exile. Chance to go through the whole oeuvre. What are you listening to on the flight today?
Actually, I bought something especially for it. It's kind of an oddball thing. It's a 90-minute like sort of essay on creativity by David Lynch called Catching the Big Fish, Meditation, Consciousness, and Creativity. And first of all, what really got me was just the fact that it's David Lynch talking for 90 minutes about his process. And that's a little bit like listening to Hunter S. Thompson talk about drug use. Even if you know that you're not capable of those such things yourselves, it's going to be an entertaining insight into why he does the things that he does. And I absolutely love David Lynch. But But also, like, before I bought it, I pulled up like some. It's kind of a famous talk he gave, or piece that he wrote. And here's one quote from it. He says, "This is David Lynch talking, saying, I hate slick and pretty things. I prefer mistakes and accidents, which is why I like things like cuts and bruises. They're like little flowers. I've always said that if you have a name for something like cut or bruise, people will automatically be disturbed by it. But when you see the same thing in nature and you don't know what it is, it can be very beautiful." So that's what I'm going to be looking forward to during my flight today.
So you're saying this is more of David Lynch, early period David Lynch than Mulholland Drive David Lynch.
It looks that way, right? If it's, and of course, it's not a story. It's just more like,
right. He's a big promoter of transcendental meditation. He's got a TM center. He's gotten a lot of Hollywood people into transcendental meditation. So, and I gather this is something about that. I'm going to add that to my.
It looks like fun.
Yeah. So you can get that for free. You can get a Ender's Game or its sequels for free. You can get spinal breathing pranayama for free. It's all. It's all there if you want it. They also have the great courses, which they just added this recently. I really love. These are the best college teachers in the country. There's a book on course on meditation, but also on communication. This is my favorite, Robert Greenberg's How to Listen to and Understand Great Music. I loved this. Get that for free. Money and Banking, What Everyone Should Know, Einstein's Relativity and the Quantum Revolution, Modern Physics for Non-Scientists, 12 hours, 20 minutes. That's probably 12 lectures. Really great stuff. And you're pouring stuff into your mind that is going to be, you know, as just fabulous. The Art of Critical Decision Making, Transformational Leadership, The Vikings. How would you like to spend 17 hours learning about the Vikings from one of the top professors of Vikingology? I would.
The Spartans.
Spartans!
I think I listened to that book like four times.
The Rise and Fall of China. Great stuff. Audible.com/MacBreak. Try it free today. We thank them for their support of MacBreak Weekly. Lots of problems with the... let's talk about Mavericks first, then MacBook Pro with Retina. What are all the issues? Apple apparently testing an update to Apple Mail for the Gmail issues. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten any Gmail in mail since I upgraded.
Ooh.
I thought it was just, you know, people who'd done some workarounds, you know, according to Tidbits, but it's more than that. Do we know what's wrong?
Gmail has always had, it's never been an IMAP app, an IMAP-based service.
Real
it's
IMAP.
Something beyond email. Yeah, yeah. So they've kind of begrudgingly provided IMAP, but it's quirky, eccentric IMAP. So it's never been great. And if you just used it, if you just input your credentials and used it, it'll keep working the same way it's always worked. But if you did those fancy workarounds, like a lot of people hid their all mail folder because it took up a lot of space on their hard drive. So they got rid of it. And now with Mavericks Mail, that no longer plays nicely. So you have to restore the all mail folder. And apparently Apple's aware of all this and they're going to rush out a fix as fast as they can.
Yeah, they're apparently testing it. Oh, dear. What's going on? I've got. This is in color now.
color.
I wish I could tell what I'm doing here. Oh, let's just go ahead and push the button. Oh. Feels like the Android
recovery. Try scanning your fingerprint, Leo.
That does not. Oh, something happened. That does not work. Maybe I just picked the right one. Let's see. Don't touch anything.
Either that or it's going to brick.
Is it Google's fault? Is it Apple's fault? Gmail is non-standard. That certainly sounds like Google's fault.
I mean, it's a regression. If you're a Gmail user who used to use Gmail and Mail.app, then it's a regression for you.
Right.
It no longer works as well as it did. Apple will probably bring it up to parity, but it's never going to... Because it's not standard IMAP, it will never be a great experience in Mail.app. So a lot of people use AirMail or Mailplane or just put it in, use it in Chrome where it belongs. It's suboptimal, but it'll be better.
Right. Here it is. Here's iOS 7 now on my... look, it even does the fingerprint reading. No, it doesn't.
it has Android. A nice little decoration there.
Isn't that funny? This is Android.
Still got the YouTube app.
They've even duplicated the... This is the clock app, and it looks just like the Apple clock.
How's their maps?
Let's see what... I wonder where they get maps from. It does say I-280. Yeah, well, let's skip that. Updated the latest. Oh, it's Google Maps. That's Google Maps, right? Yeah, that's Google Maps. But, you know, you probably wouldn't know or care. Let's see what the App Store takes us to. That's the Apple App Store, isn't it? What? This is bizarre. It must be a fake App Store. It looks just like it.
Go ahead and put your credit card in there.
You don't plan to pay for things in that App Store.
Weather? Is this going to be the new weather? No, that's the old weather. But that's pretty good.
In Beijing.
So this is actually, it is obviously, as you saw, Android. Oh, passbook. Let me put my credit card numbers in here.
There you go.
That'll work. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I don't think even people think that they're getting a real iPhone. I think that they just want enough of the right. iPhone experience that they can enjoy it.
Right.
That's what's being delivered here.
Right.
I mean, it's cold.
It's cold. It's got a phony iOS 7. I just took a picture. Let me take a good picture. Let's take a picture of Alex.
That's not going to be a good picture no matter how you do it.
It made it a little cool, I think, but let's see. I mean, this is pretty functional for $43. Does it pinch? Yeah. Look. Can even zoom. Multi-touch. Wow.
1-7 finger tracking.
Wow. So the mail is one issue. Were there other issues in Mavericks? You mentioned one, Renee, just before the show. You said occasionally when you play a YouTube video, sound goes out.
Yeah, it's not just YouTube. I mean, that's one of the things that can cause it. If you play a Flash video or anything that plays audio seemingly through a video player that is based on Flash, like YouTube, Core Audio can cut out. Core Audio is a service that runs all audio on OS X, and you either have to go into Activity Monitor and kill the Core Audio process, and it's listed there alphabetically, or you have to reboot for it to come back. Core Audio has always been a little problematic, a little flaky in some areas, but this is the first time it's doing that, and hopefully that'll get fixed.
And you could restart that in the Activity Monitor, and it will get better. Also complaints about the new iCloud keychain, which is a neat idea, but John Brodkin running at Ars Technica suggests not abandoning LastPass or 1Password. It is not a replacement for those. I have to say, I was puzzled by the setup, which said, oh, you could just authenticate with your 4-digit code, and then still sent me a text message and said I needed that. He says basically it's fairly limited. Limits the length of passwords to 12 letters, numbers, and 3 dashes every time. That's the password generator. That's that's even not as good as the old keychain password generator, which was much more flexible. That's odd.
Well, and I think that for someone who's not, it's great to add something like this for someone who's not using LastPass or. You know, or 1Password.
Better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. It gives you a little bit more control and so on and so forth. If you're already using one of those services, there's a lot of power in both of those services. And I think that it would be very hard for people who are already using it to give it up.
So you do have this autofill. If you want to turn it on, you can go to Preferences, Passwords, click the box that says Autofill Usernames and Passwords. You can also allow autofill for websites that request passwords not be saved. Typically a bank. That seems like a bad idea. I would not turn that on, although it is convenient.
Also public terminals do that too.
If you're a bad guy, that's the first thing you do is you turn that on a public terminal. Yeah. Oddly enough, it does say enabling this override requires the Mac be configured to lock the screen with idle. That's good. But it still fails to autofill passwords on some websites, most notably Apple's own iCloud.com.
Oops.
They all have some trouble in some websites. I mean
they all do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For mysterious reasons sometimes.
I mean, this is like Time Machine for security. It's not intended for anyone already using 1Password or LastPass or anything. It's intended for people who, like Touch ID, never had any form of security. And at worst, it provides education that this stuff exists.
Anyway,
anything to get them to use like stronger password system.
It's better than nothing. I guess that's the best you can say about it. And now let's talk about the MacBook Pro with Retina. There were people reporting, we talked last week about the ghosting issues, and then people reporting keyboard and trackpad issues on the 13-inch. Apparently, according to CNET, Apple is working on a fix for those input issues.
I would just like to go back to what we've talked about.
Just don't do it.
Just
wait.
You know, it's a big upgrade.
All those fixes will come.
Both with the operating system and the hardware. Give it version.
In a knowledge base page last week, the company said Apple is aware of rare circumstances where the built-in keyboard and multi-touch trackpad may become unresponsive on a 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina, late 2013, and is working on an update to resolve this behavior. Meanwhile, they say the workaround is put the computer to sleep for about a minute. Give it a nap.
And it's just tired.
See if it's cranky after
The Retina, it makes it very tired.
Let it sleep for a minute and then re-wake it and see if it feels better.
It's very tired.
Tired.
The computer has not, you haven't let it go to sleep for 4 days.
But that's good news because it means it's software, not hardware, and it'll be fixable, right?
Right. Well, it's software that's trying to fix for the hardware. We don't know what the issue. We don't know what the issue is. I mean, I think that again, I think that there's a with any time there's a brand new hardware, and it's hard for me because I really want the Mac Pros, but I also really want to get the second version.
Yeah.
Once they've been gamma tested,
I actually love my MacBook Pro with Retina. This is last year's that I'm using here, and then I have the
at home. I have a lot of MacBook Pros.
I love them.
They're great machines.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have an iPhone 5S with battery issues, Apple's acknowledged that and is replacing those as well. That is not unusual for, you know, when you're making a new phone, there are issues. Customers with affected units will be contacted to receive a replacement device. Apple's PR department says the issue can cause shortened battery life, longer charge times, or a battery that will no longer charge. So they apparently know which serial numbers are affected.
Right.
They know what happened.
It's a bad batch.
Yeah. And they'll call you. If you haven't yet gotten a call Apple Care, and they'll give, you know, you give them the serial number and they'll check.
And it doesn't sound like this is a lot of phones that have this problem.
Right. No,
tiny amount.
Yeah. Like someone, you know, took a bio break, you know,
right,
for like 15 minutes.
The 15 batteries minutes went by. And they forgot to put the toilet. They put the ion in, but they forgot to put the lithium in. It happens all the time.
It's like the dude who was sealing the battery or whatever. He was like, oh.
That's really.
And then Foxconn, you know, and it was like and a thousand of them went by.
All iPhones made on Mondays.
Yeah. Well, no, it was probably like a thousand of them went by in that 15 minutes.
Right.
And then he came back and he's like, I thought we were breaking.
Oh, man.
I don't think anyone's going to notice.
Launch of iPad in early 2010 coincides with a quantum leap in visits to Apple stores. I guess you could expect the same thing in 2013. This is, again, Horace Dediu, the amazing analyst. It is a Simcoe blog. You can actually track the releases of products by the spikes in visitors to the store. You see those poles there? That's when new iPads came out.
Personal setup was brilliant.
Yeah. Average visitors per store per quarter, big spiky thing there. Except for seasonal peaks, the visitors per store per quarter are fairly steady. So what caused the quantum jump in traffic? Was it due to a redesign of the stores? Was it a change in the product mix? Was it due to a change in staffing rules? No. I'm thrilled that he's spending so much time on those things. You know, just new iPads. That'll do it. Ron Johnson said at the time, former head of Apple Retail, it was as if the stores were designed for an iPad. It's something that needs to be discovered with a retail experience. I think with the new one, you're going to see the same thing because people are going to want to go in and feel it and touch it and perhaps want to compare it to the Mini with Retina. Do we know a day for the Mini with Retina yet? We know it's this month, supposedly, right?
Late November.
Yeah.
After Thanksgiving.
That's what I heard, too.
Black Friday, right? That sounds like
That would be the right day, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I heard Black Friday, but only just.
Well, what is...
That's the only thing I heard.
Let me look at the calendar here. So, Thanksgiving Black Friday is the 29th.
That gives you the most possible weekdays to work on finishing it.
It means basically it's that or the day after.
Well, if you did it on Black Friday, it means that all the press that was normally go to Black Friday
goes to Apple lines. That's true.
Just saying. Not that I'm a conspiracy theorist.
You know, Furby. It's like the Furby. It's like it's going to be an iPad Christmas. Didn't Tim Cook say that? Mm. Maybe he has a strategy.
But also, they know that they're going to have a run on these devices on day one of launch, even if the day one was in October. So you may as well sort of If you schedule two hurricanes for the same day in the same city, you may as well have it in the same day.
So does that means I have to get in line on Black Friday, the time I normally will stay far away from the mall.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
But you can get $5 off a hard drive, Leo. It's win-win.
I was hoping a lot.
Good news. iPad Air online orders have gone. What is this? Is this story from November 1st? Oh, this is an old story. I don't know how this got. This is the launch story. We know about that. That was Friday. It was 5 days ago.
An eternity.
An eternity in technology time. Ashton Kutcher, now lead product engineer for Lenovo.
Because Bono did so well at BlackBerry.
That should really fix things up. Did you see that BlackBerry? They've decided. What did they decide? Tell us, Canadian. What did BlackBerry decide?
They decided not to be sold off. They got $1 billion loan. They got rid of Torsten Hines as their CEO. And they brought
Wait a minute.
John
that's the
Chen.
New CEO.
The new CEO. So he's the old new CEO. The new CEO is John Chen, who ran Sybase and sold it to SAP.
The guy, his last job as CEO was running a software company.
An analytic database company. And then they sold it to SAP, and now they might be doing an enterprise play, Leo.
Who gave BlackBerry $1 billion?
Yeah, who would do that?
Fairfax, the same people who were going to buy it. They couldn't get enough money to buy, so I believe they just did an investment.
Why would you do that?
Is there any chance in hell BlackBerry can survive?
Sure. I mean, IBM is a huge company doing enterprise services it has no sexy consumer face, but they still do really good business. So as long as you have technology.
Is it the success of BlackBerry Messenger on Android and iPhone that has given people this buoyant feeling about the future of BlackBerry? Is that what it is?
But is the Messenger as secure as the BlackBerry?
Not
it's not
secure.
At all. It's the same. So it's, you know, having it there. I mean, I think that the reason people use it is for security. And I think that
they use it because their high school buddies use it.
Right.
Or originally you used it because you were on Wall Street and then you had friends or family or people who, Wall Street or government.
But also it has a lot of the same features that Microsoft Office has and Windows has. It's not just the features of the software itself. It's also the fact that if you need to hire up some people that can support your mobile infrastructure, you can find people who know how to make BlackBerry Messenger and BlackBerry servers server software work.
And they're a lot less expensive.
You don't have to retrain. Exactly. So I think that I have no idea if the company is worth $1 billion, but it certainly has a certain amount of value. I wrote a column for the Sun Times last week that was talking about that sort of stuff, and I wondered that if they decided to simply say, you know, we got clobbered by this whole concept of bring your own device. What if we decided to really embrace that, and we will release our own Android-based launcher that will essentially turn any Android 4.1 phone into a BlackBerry, and we'll also have access to the entire Android app library, so we can have this really cool enterprise studly phone that will also do Facebook, that will also do Fruit Ninja, but we can now take all the hair pulling stuff of manufacturing hardware and let other people, you know, fight for scraps. We will just do that. We will just push electrons for the rest of our lives.
They should have hired you for CEO.
Yeah,
they're pointing out in the chat room rightly that the Canadian government blocked Lenovo from bidding. They didn't want Lenovo to own it. And I don't know if that's because they're Chinese or because of Ashton Kutcher, but it could really go either way.
Ashton Kutcher could have been the CEO. Maybe that's why Lenovo.
Also, they have Alicia Keys. BlackBerry has Alicia Keys. They have Neil Gaiman working for them. That's pretty good. If all that happens is you get to meet Alicia Keys and Neil Gaiman, that's got to be worth at least $80 million right there.
What is Neil doing? What is Neil himself doing?
Oh, he was the launch of BlackBerry 10. He did a creative project where he basically had people tweet, like, what is your best memory of November? And then he wrote 12 short stories based on the months of the year, and then solicited people to do art based on it. And it was you can go to the BlackBerry site somewhere and download it as a big PDF, and it's really quite brilliant.
Yeah, they have their new Z30 phablet on the market now, so I think it tied in with that launch. Yeah.
I didn't even know they had a
that was BlackBerry 10, the Z10, I think.
Z10. They have Z10, Z30. The numbers keep going up, Leo.
Again, they have so many hit products out there, they just kind of blur together in my
mind.
That's
it. This is the 5th of November. Remember the 5th of November? Is that because, Guy Fawkes burnt down or tried to blow up the Parliament building but failed? Patrick Rothfuss had a contest last month. Did you know that?
I did not know.
He had a Twitter contest. He asked people to pose as Patrick Rothfuss on Twitter and then had the fans vote on Patrick Rothfuss, the author of one of our favorite books, The Name of the Wind. Then he had people vote on who was the real Patrick Rothfuss, and he lost. The winner was another science fiction writer, Mary Robinette Cowell, the author of Shades of Milk and Honey. She posed as Patrick _ Rothfuss. There was not Patrick Rothfuss. There was fake Patrick Rothfuss. Our own Veronica Belmont was the real Pat Rothfuss. She got 9% of the vote. Patrick Rothfuss' own assistant, Amanda, got 14% of the vote. Patrick Rothfuss himself, the actual Patrick Rothfuss, 15% of the voters said that's him.
Some of those look like there's a lot of Jim Dalrymples in those photos.
Patrick Rothfuss happens to look just like Jim Dalrymple. That's why. Isn't that funny? Then this was all for charity, but I think a great idea. Great, but isn't it funny that the science fiction author got 42? Who's not Patrick Rothfuss? The woman Mary got 42% of the votes.
They wanted her to be Patrick.
Best Buy says, hey, we were all worried about, you know what showrooming is? That's where you go to a Best Buy or somewhere else to figure out what washing machine to buy, and then you order it on Amazon.
Yep.
And everybody was very worried that people would do this. Best Buy says, you know what? It's not a problem. And guess what? They figured out, hey, we at least have people in the store. Maybe there's some way to convert them into customers.
It's crazy.
What a thought.
Maybe we'll have people who actually know what they're talking about.
What a thought. Have service.
And you know what happens when I walk into a store like that and I get great service? Number one is it is easier some of the time to just go in when I'm trying to figure something out and just talk to them. And I do feel somewhat obliged to buy from them at that point. You know,
exactly. I feel, it's called obligation. Yeah. It's traditional sales technique. If you go to Cairo, they pull you in and they give you a cup of tea.
Right.
And they say, have a nice... No, I'm not going to sell you a carpet. Just relax, sit down, have a cup of tea. Would you like something to eat? And by the time you're done, you got to buy a carpet.
Yep.
When we were in Venice, we got a free trip to Murano to see the glass factories. They had the glass blower come out, give a whole demonstration. Then they took you on a tour of the factory and the showroom. By the time you're done, $4,000 in glassware later, it works.
That's how they do timeshare in St. Martin.
Same thing.
I didn't get one.
But you cannot buy a timeshare on Amazon yet.
Yet.
The new CEO at Best Buy was actually very smart. Mike Mikan said he said I'm going to make showrooming a success for us. Very smart. Price matching, customer service improvements. Their profit has increased. Shares have soared.
Well, and one of the things I think that a lot of them could do is, for instance, building an app that allows you to get a lot more information. You know, scan a QR code and get more information.
Target is putting free Wi-Fi in their stores just for that reason.
Right.
Because they realize it used to be. In fact, you still see stores. No, you can't bring your camera, phone, and take pictures in here.
Right.
Because they're so afraid. Target said, "No, come on in."
Well, and we, you know, that was one of the things that. When iBooks first came out, we got approached by a very big box company. It's like, what would you do with iBooks with our showrooms and everything else? And we were like, well, we would, get something out there so people can get more information about all of the goods. You go into you watch all these TVs, and I don't know if I don't know about TVs, if I'm not Robert Herron or I can't email Robert
Herron. Right.
Like,
you need to go online.
I need to find out, like, what should I be looking for? Why is 1080p important? Right. Why is 240 hertz important? Why are all these things important? And you want to have all that information, and you want to do that with whether it's TVs or faucets or fishing lines or, you know, whatever it is. You want to be able to get all that information, and that's going to make you much more likely to be there because now you're touching it and getting the information you had. And if you then move to purchase, so say, hey, by the way, do you want that right now? And they can mail it to you. Half the reason I don't buy stuff,
I don't want to take it home.
I don't want to put it in the car. I mean, usually I'm somewhere else. Like I'm in New York, and I look at something. This is great. And I'm just
that's what
order
they did
it.
In the glass factory.
Right.
We'll ship it.
Yep.
Well, and also now Amazon is no longer has its or is starting to lose its advantage with sales tax. Starting to collect sales tax in many states.
The shipping costs are big.
That's 8 or 9%. Well, shipping, free shipping because I'm a Prime member. I still buy a lot of stuff on Amazon.
I don't, but I guess here's the thing is I like that I don't, you know, I like that it's not calculated or whatever, but paying taxes on it is not the reason that I buy from Amazon.
People still look at the price point, and that, but that's why this is good for consumers, because it makes everybody more competitive.
Yep.
You assume an intelligent consumer, now you've got a match. In fact, that's what Walmart did. They, and it wasn't a big deal, but they dropped $20 off the price of the iPad Air, $479. And what is the response? Apple, Best Buy, Staples, and Target all said, all right, we'll match.
Right.
It's good for us, right? We all benefit from that. So I'm glad to see it. Competition is good for consumers. And apparently, if you what a concept. You have a beautiful store with knowledgeable salespeople and products people want. They actually buy it there.
Well, and that's really the future of brick and mortar is you have to have great service. You have to have something unique as well. Yeah. I mean, I talked this a long time ago, but I was at a coffee shop in Pittsburgh the Beehive that is catacorner to a Starbucks. So the Beehive had been there for a long time, and the Starbucks opened right across the street. And I asked him how that affected business. He goes, "Oh, we've expanded two times,
what?
You know."
Really?
And he goes, "People go to the Starbucks, and then they see this crazy artsy coffee shop, and they walk over, and they never go back to Starbucks."
It's
and he goes, "You know, but he provides a very unique experience.
Yeah.
You know, high quality coffee, and just a fun place to be." And people are always going to choose that. But you can't. What you can't do is have a mediocre coffee shop and expect Starbucks to move in next to you and survive, you know.
Right. Yeah. All right. We're going to move on, get our picks of the week in a second, then let Andy run to his plane. Our show today brought to you by our friends at 99designs.com. I just saw a tweet from somebody who said, I started my first design contest at 99designs.com. I'm so excited to see what I get. A quarter of a million designers are waiting for you at 99designs.com. Look, everybody who's listening, I'm sure, has an idea for an app. Maybe you work somewhere where you have brochures or menus. And a lot of times the temptation is just, hey, design it yourself. Except, as I have learned, maybe we're not as good at it as we ought to be. That's why you really want to get a real designer. And 99designs is a great place to go. If you need fresh marketing collateral, they have all kinds of marketing design, everything from vehicle wraps. I want to do a Twit vehicle wrap.
We're looking at it. As soon as we get our car fixed.
I'm talking with Lisa about marketing, right? And she says, billboard. It's on 101, you know, in Silicon Valley. I said, what if instead of a billboard, for the same price, we wrapped 20 cars in Silicon Valley driving around? I love that.
You know what's most important is the sticker. See the sticker right here? You know how many people I meet with this sticker?
Yeah.
I was in.
You got a Twit sticker on there.
Yeah, I was in Vietnam, and the guy goes, so how do you know Twit? You know, and then I'm in.
You know, we got that design. In a way, we did the same thing. 99 Designs wasn't around yet. This was many years ago. I asked our viewers, give us designs. Dorothy Yamamoto, who was a designer who was getting back into the business after having kids, sent me the design. I said, tilt it a little bit. This, and we had, I think we've got several hundred great designs. And it was a great experience. I didn't give her the $499 I would if it were 99designs.com. But she was very kind to give us all rights. And it's a great logo. So this is how it works. You say, this is what I need. I need an email template or a banner ad or a vehicle wrap. All of that, by the way, landing page is just $299. That's the starting price. You'll set up what they call a contest. Designers will look at your contest and decide whether they want to submit or not. They submit. And you look at all the choices. Some beautiful stuff, too. These people are really good. You get a design you love or your money back. You even decide how much you want to spend. And you get a lot of concepts, not just proposals, but actual ideas. And you can work with a designer and then pick your designer. And you will get a polished design in just 7 days. 99designs.com. Right now, if you go to 99designs.com/MBW, I was going to pronounce MBW.
It's a great deal for designers, too, in a way to kind of fill your space.
Yeah. I mean, if you got a little time, you should go there and become one of the designers there. It's really fabulous. If you go there right now, you get a $99 power pack upgrade absolutely free. That gives your listing a little bit more punch. They'll bold, highlight, and feature your design project in the 99designs marketplace. That way you get about twice as many designs. So visit 99designs.com/MBW and get a design you love guaranteed at 99designs. Offer ends at 4 weeks, 1 day, 23 hours, 57 minutes, and 8 seconds. That's what it says right there. 99designs.com/MBW. We've had some great designs from 99designs. They're really nice people too. Let us, time for our picks of the week. I'm going to get Andy's first just in case they call your name.
I've been pre-packing. This is not, there's been a lot of really cool new styluses for the iPad that use Bluetooth low energy too, because you know the iPad doesn't have a pressure sensitive screen, and also you always have a limitation of it's looking for something about the size of your fingertip to as a sensor sort of thing, so that limits like the utility of what you can do with it. But we're seeing some Bluetooth ones that have some really clever solutions to solve those problems. This is from Adonit, and this is called the Jot Script. And it has a really cool feature in that it is exactly like a ballpoint pen. So if you are someone who takes handwritten notes with your iPad, there is nothing that, at least in my hand, feels as much as like a regular natural writing instrument than this. It is Bluetooth. It runs off of one AAA battery. It will run with pretty much any app that's out there. Adonit came out with a software development toolkit so that if you're a developer and you support the SDK for this device, it will be the tracking becomes moves from very, very good to almost the as precise as the width of this tip. And that's how good it becomes. There's already a bunch of really great apps available for it. This one, as a matter of fact, has, you can see, the Evernote logo on it, because it is actually, because Penultimate is actually set up to run, which is an Evernote-owned app, is set up to run with this specifically. So again, if you're someone who doesn't use it necessarily for art, but for actually writing down notes and diagrams as someone speaks or as you're thinking, this is great. The only feature it doesn't have compared to some of the other Bluetooth styluses is that this is not pressure sensitive, and Adonit does make a different version of this that has like a different sort of form factor that is pressure sensitive. So if you're using your stylus for artwork, maybe you don't want to get this one. But again, if you're the person in the conference room who wants to be able to take notes on an iPad, this will do it for you. One thing I forgot to mention too is that if the developer is supporting the toolkit that Adonit creates for this, it also works with a palm rejection as well. So you can actually have your palm resting on the surface of the iPad while you're writing, and it won't like confuse where the tip of the thing is. This is not cheap. It's about $75, but it's a nice, it has a good weight to it. It's made out of a nice aluminum to it. It feels like a very high quality product. I wish that it had sort of a clip on it so that you could easily pocket it. I wish it had a little bit of grip added grippiness here at the business end of it. It doesn't have that. But other than that, this is the only stylus I've ever seen that would actually make me want to use my iPad as a handwritten notes-taking device. The other ones make it sort of possible. This one makes it actually desirable.
Neat. Adonit, Adonit, or Adonit.net, if you want to take a look at it. And the particular one that Andy's talking is the Jot Script Evernote Edition, $74.99. I like that. I don't need the pressure sensitive if I'm just writing. I don't. In fact, that would be a negative. I just want to write. Andy will let you go. He's gone. He's got to go to a flight. Mr. Rene Ritchie, iMore.com. What's your pick this week?
First, I'll echo Andy's pick. I love both the Adonit Jot series and the Pogo styluses for different reasons. The Adonit ones are just like when I was in drafting classes in school. Fantastic feel. And the Jots are really nice. Sorry, and the Pogos are really nice for brushwork. Both fantastic styluses. My pick, though, should come as no surprise to anybody. I don't use a lot of apps daily, but I do use this one. It's Fantastical 2. It's new version of Fantastical. It has been completely rewritten for iOS 7. It now integrates with Reminders as well as Calendars because there's an open API for Reminders. It's still Michael Simmons and I'm always going to mess up Kent's last name, Kent Sutherland, designed by Wolfgang Bettlemy, fantastic designer. Icon by the Icon Factory, David Lanham, of course. You know, great looking stuff, great working stuff. The scrolling is fantastic. I hate calendars. I don't like using calendars. I hate the idea of managing my information taking more time than actually doing the stuff that it's managing. And I don't use the iOS calendar because it struck me as an app that Steve Jobs never used because he would have thrown it at somebody's head after 2 minutes. But Fantastical is great. It's so fast to get stuff into. It uses natural language the way Siri does, but through typing instead of through speech. So you just type a sentence, exactly what they're showing in the video, lunch with Elon, and it just goes right in there. But also when you're out and about and you're trying to find something, they've got a bidirectional scroller. You can scroll through the day ticker on the top and the lists on the bottom. And it's just so fast to find something. using Fantastical. And because it's using the universal reminders and calendar database, if you're using iCloud, you know, if you're one of those people who just happen to set up iCloud for calendars, it'll sync everything. And that includes, you know, to Fantastical on the Mac, but to the default calendar apps as well, if you have to use them somewhere, or if you're using an iPad that doesn't happen to have Fantastical on it yet. So it's really quick, really beautifully designed. The iOS 7 version looks really clean. The reminders integration is fantastic. He had me at hello with this app. I was really happy about it.
Is there an iPad version, or it looks like there's only an iPhone version for it?
There's an iPhone and Mac version. It's really interesting when you talk to a lot of developers. The iPhone is this device that you use quickly while you're on the go to get things in and get things out. And the Mac is this device that when you're sitting down, it's just so quick and powerful to enter a lot of stuff that the iPad sort of sits in between. And yes, it's good right. for reporting or aggregation, but it almost ends up being a third priority for productivity apps just because the iPhone and the Mac are such clearly different things. You can run the iPhone version on the iPad, of course, but because it syncs, you can also run any other calendar app you want there, and it works just fine.
You know, it's funny that you should do this because I got two calls this weekend on the radio show from people who upgraded to iOS 7 and hated the calendar app so much.
Yeah.
They said, save me. I want to roll back. Is there anything better? And I'd said, Fantastical. So, and I think it would be really nice to have an iPad version because, yes, for data entry, you use the phone or the desktop. And I use the Fantastical has a menu bar and yep. thing that makes it very easy to enter on the Mac. But I also want a big display on my iPad. I mean, there's a place in the iPad for a calendar display, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's usable. And with all that real estate, you could really have a nice calendar display. So I think that there is a reason to make an iPad version.
I will keep bugging him about it. I've been on the beta for Fantastical for a long time, so I've been using the new version for a while. It's held up really well. It's got a new you can rotate it to landscape to get the week view now, which is new, and it's just a lot of great new features. Really, really well put together.
Yeah, Fantastical.
And we'll bug him for an iPad version.
Two
yeah.
for the iPhone, and there's still Fantastical one for the desktop. In the app.
Yeah, Fantastical 2 is a new app, which does bug some people, but it's months and months of work on their part, and I'll throw them, you know, $3
yeah.
without even thinking about it.
You know what?
These
things are so cheap. I see no reason.
Yep.
Yeah. Moving along to your pick of the week, Mr. Alex Lynch.
I'm streaming live.
Why are you doing that?
It's for fun. See,
you're on
YouTube.
YouTube Live right now.
Right here. So if you go to, yeah.
I want to be on your show.
Right, there we go.
You're on my show. Can I be on your show?
Yeah, so here it is. Let's see if I click on it here. So this is YouTube Live, of course.
Here, plug in.
If you have more than...
if you plug in, I think they can see it. We have now it. Because we both have HDMI connectors on our laptops.
How convenient.
It makes it so simple to just plug in. And in a moment, have I crashed your machine?
Possibly.
No.
There we go.
In a moment, we'll see
you
Alex.
You see it?
Yeah. You see that there, Chet? No.
No.
No, I thought it was really easy when we had to get it set up before. Well, we can show it over the shoulder if you want.
So if you have more than 100 subscribers in YouTube to your channel, you can, for free, stream live.
There's a little lag. I just started waving.
It's 42 seconds or so behind.
Okay.
Because it's re-encoding. So you can stream in 1080p for
Whoa.
Free. To YouTube right now, and all you need is 100 subscribers to your channel, which you know it used to be. At first, it was you had to be very special, then you had to have 1,000, and then you had to have 100.
Gotten easier and easier,
and so it's gotten easier and easier and easier,
yeah.
and easier as they've gotten better. The interface to starting, running, managing your live streaming is pretty much, in my opinion, the best in the business, or one of the best in the business as far as just being nice and easy. And it's a huge infrastructure. And you get a lot of the tools that you would get that are industrial. I can do a primary stream, backup stream, so on and so forth. And about 95% of our live events are all on YouTube. Here's why the app, though, that I'm talking about, the pick, is not YouTube Live, which is amazing. It's Wirecast for YouTube, which is free. So Wirecast is, of course, a software encoder, but they have a free version that you can use with YouTube. And let me show. And I don't know if I have the brand new version of this. I think they might have just changed it. But yeah, this says check out the new one. So this is a slightly older one, but definitely worth checking out. So if you get live enabled, what you can do is essentially you can have up to three cameras, that you can be cutting in between if you have the inputs. So they can be webcams. They can be so you can literally do this with web cameras to stream to YouTube. There we go. Someone's there. And And then the setup is basically the same setup in a lot of ways that you would have there. There you go. Now, if you go down to there and say what encoder you're using, so you select encoder, there's the level. So you can say 1080p, and then you can say select encoder, and there's a Wirecast for YouTube, and then it'll tell you to download it, and you can download it right there. There you go. There's Mac or Windows. And then you can install it, and it'll give you a couple of different options. Now, of course, the cool thing about this is as you want to have more features, Wirecast, there's a studio version, there's a pro version, so you can keep on upgrading and adding more bits. But with the very basic version, you don't have to know anything about encoding settings and ingest points and anything else. It just does it, you know. And so it is a really, really easy way for people to get into live streaming. And now that it's so easy, as far as it's cheap, it's something that I would definitely suggest. Anyway, so that's my pick, Wirecast for YouTube.
Very cool. Let's do it.
Hi.
I'm on his show again.
And in 42 seconds, it'll be there.
Yeah,
so.
Later.
Which is cool. Just so you know why it's 42 seconds, it's taking a 720p stream here and slicing it up into four different resolutions and then putting it up all for you. And wow. So you can watch it on your phone and everything else. And so it's something that used to be very, when I used to do it.
In the old days,
it used to be very complicated.
You make a lot of money showing people how to do that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't knock it. They're making it too easy.
Anyway.
Knock it off, YouTube. We are out of time, but we do thank you very much. Renee Ritchie, imore.com. That's the place to go for all the... I guess we won't have to worry about rumors now for a few months.
I hope, Leo. I need a vacation.
You know what I need? I need a Mac Pro and I need an iPad mini. An iPad mini with Retina display.
It was nice. Apple let us split up our purchases. You can buy one thing in October, one thing in November, one thing in
from the Retina.
December.
That's probably why they did it, huh? So you think Black Friday...
When Apple says late in the month, I generally think it's the last possible minute of the last possible day in the last possible month.
Yeah, that's late in the month means the
29th. Oh, and the chat room informed us, Leo, that Apple has put up its information government request PDF just moments ago.
Okay.
Detailing what they did with the NSA.
Asking for information from the government, or they actually say,
report on
is this
government
the result?
Info request. Report on government information request, November 5th, 2013. It's a PDF file protecting personal data, advocating for greater transparency, requests from law enforcement. It's dull tables and a lot of text, but if you're interested, it's
worth it. But they did it, and that's what matters. They didn't put it on their front page, I might point out.
Report they didn't get the iPads a lot.
So this is something Google does, too, where they did they give you numbers here? Yeah, they do. They're giving us numbers as to how many requests there are by country. Google did this first, and I think this kind of transparency is a very valuable way of keeping these government requests, a little bit in public instead of just behind the scenes. The United States, the total number of law enforcement account requests received, they can't say actual numbers. They can do ranges somewhere between 1 and 2,000. The number of accounts specified in the request, somewhere between 2 and 3,000. The number of accounts for which data was disclosed, somewhere between 0 and 1,000. The number of account requests where Apple objected, somewhere between 0 and 1,000. This is worthless for the U.S. anyway. Yeah. Number of account requests where non-content data was disclosed, somewhere between 0 and 1,000.
And I'm fascinated as we really watch this roll out is the incredible impact that Snowden has had on the whole process. Because these guys were dealing with this all, without being able to say anything. And suddenly it's all something that can't be hidden anymore.
And by the way, Edward Snowden now is on Twitter.
Wow.
The official Edward Snowden account. So if you want to follow, let me see if he's tweeted anything. If you want to follow Edward Snowden, now you can. You can't show my screen because...
Because I have the HDMI, even though it's not working.
It's official Snowden is the Twitter handle. And his tweets, no. He's done three. The first was, welcome. This morning, this account has been hacked. Thanks. Okay, that's not so good. This is my official and personal Twitter page. The account is owned by my lawyer. Welcome. This morning, the account has been hacked. Thanks. And then finally, important news on NSA activity in Austria, Switzerland, and Poland to be leaked soon. Huh. Ed Snowden is not following me. That's all I have to say. Want to thank you all for being here. We do Mac Break Weekly 11 a.m. And I am, by the way, I keep saying this, but we're going to start this on time soon. I tried so hard, but then I lost my Nexus 5 under the covers and I couldn't find it. And I had to search and search and search. But normally, you know, from now on, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's 1900 UTC on twit.tv. You can watch live. We love you in the chat room. If you can't, don't worry about it. We got on-demand audio and video. And you know what? You can watch that exactly, like right at 11 o'clock sharp if you want. That's available at twit.tv/MBW and wherever podcasts are stored, aggregated, and delivered to your portable devices with alacrity. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Renee. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Alex. Now get back to work because you know what? Break time is over.